In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We need to continue in this Advent season to pray for President-elect Trump. He needs our prayers. We got him elected by prayer, and we need to have him on the right track. So, Father, we lift up Trump, and we ask you to give him the wisdom of the saints, the wisdom of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to give him everything that he needs for the sake of the country. Oh, he is not a ruler. He will govern. And we ask that his government would know that the government is on your shoulders, that he would know that it's all about Jesus. Oh, God, I ask you, with all these people, to bless Mr. Trump and to bless his family. In Jesus' name, amen. Also want to tell you that we are still in the season of Advent. It is the first week of Advent, and we await the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will be the judge of the living and the dead. How we need to expect the Lord to come in our generation. How we need to expect the Lord to come in our generation. But we don't spend our time looking up at the sky. We spend our time in faith, working through love. I want to say that again. We spend our time in faith, working through love. Do you have faith? If you have faith, it's a gift. Working through love, that's with your hands. Something is going to get done. Faith working through love. I'm asking you to look at the 9th chapter of Luke. And Jesus said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Deny self. Oh, in the morning, I want to go lie down again in the bed. And the Lord says, no, you've got rid of that. It's time for you to finish getting dressed. Oh, but I long to just rest for 5 more minutes. Deny yourself that. Or you can deny yourself food. Or you can deny yourself sleep. We can deny ourselves. It's into denial of self. And we don't do that in America. We don't know what it is to deny ourselves. Take up our cross daily. Yes, the cross is you. It's your body. Take up your cross daily. It's the body that we hold and that we use. And it is a cross sometimes. Take it up daily and follow me. Follow me. We are not following some philosopher. We are following the Son of the Living God. We are following Jesus Christ. We are his disciples. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall the same save it. Okay, you see, Jesus is telling them exactly the way he lives, that you must lose your life in order to gain your life. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Yeah, what does it matter if you're rich in money, friendship, but you're not rich in God? What does it matter? Because all that's going to rust away. We need to be rich in God. We need to be rich in the presence of God. Oh, how I need to be rich in the presence of God. And God shows up when he wants to show up. We need to pray, deny ourselves, and pray. We need to get into the presence of God and pray. I remember several weeks before the election, I had this vision or this picture, call it what you will. I saw Trump at the inauguration day with his wife accepting to be the president of the United States. And I also saw Mrs. Clinton on one of the steps trying to get up on the platform, but she doesn't do it. Now, I spoke to some people about what I saw, and they said, we hope it to be true. I hoped it to be true, too. But you know what? I went to bed that night thinking, it was my imagination. But you know what? It wasn't my imagination. It was a gift from God. It was a gift from God. Oh, God tells us how to pray with people if we be open. Sometimes people ask me to pray for their neck, and I have a little pain in my shoulder, and I start with the shoulder because the Lord shows me, start with the shoulder, then go to the neck. You see, this is what we do. We want to follow the Lord's lead, and we want to deny ourselves, and want to lose ourselves. We do not want to be a castaway. For whoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and his Father's and the holy angels. Are you ashamed of Jesus? Are you ashamed of talking about him? If you're ashamed of Jesus, he's going to be ashamed of you. Oh, Jesus, you are so wonderful. You are the Lord. You are wonderful. I want never to be ashamed of you. I want always to love you, no matter where I am, never to be ashamed of you. But I want to lift you up so that people may come to see that there is only one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. But I tell you a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. And what comes next? Oh, the holy transfiguration. And Peter, James, and John are going to see the kingdom of God come in the power of God on the mountain. And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up a mountain to pray. What happens? And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. In other words, he was in the power of the glory of God, and his face shone like the sun. I remember a woman telling me that she was guilty because her mother died and she wasn't there with her. And the point of the matter is she was seeing her mother shining like the sun, her face. And I was able to pray with her and tell her that God was with her mother when she died. And it was this dark shadow that came off of her quickly. And the presence of God filled her. I tell you, we need the presence of God. We need the presence of God. His raiment were white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah. Now I'm going to tell you, Moses did not ascend into heaven. Moses is an Old Testament saint. So people who think that we talk to idols when we talk to saints, Moses was talking with Jesus, and Moses didn't go to heaven body and soul. Just in soul he went to heaven. Elijah went to heaven in body and soul, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure. What do they speak about? He was going to go into Jerusalem, he was going to be rejected, and he was going to be crucified, which he had accomplished in Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy in sleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Not knowing what he was saying, he was scared stiff. He's in the presence of God. He is one of the people that that shall not taste death till they have seen the kingdom of God. I tell you, the kingdom of God was on that mountain, in the presence of the Father, in the presence of the Son, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. The glory cloud came, and Peter was scared stiff. I tell you, we need that glory cloud. We need that the presence of God would come upon us and that Jesus would come upon us. We need a transfiguration experience. That's what we need. That the Lord give us this transfiguration experience. Ask for it. Ask for it. Lord, I want a transfiguration experience. I want the glory to come. I want the power of God to come. And while he thus spake, there came a cloud that overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone with them. Who else do you need? You don't need Moses and Elijah. You have Jesus, the fulfillment of the law, Moses, and the fulfillment of the prophets, Elijah. Oh, yes, Jesus, in glory. Yes, the Father was sweetening the cross. They were talking about his departure, that Jesus would go into Jerusalem and be rejected by the elders, by the Pharisees, by the Sadducees. And it came to pass that on the next day when they came down from the hill or from the mountain, many people met Jesus. They knew where he was. So now they're at the bottom of the hill. There's going to be trouble at the bottom of the hill. Listen. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, "Master, I beseech you, look upon my child, for he is my only son, my only child. And lo, a spirit takes him, and he suddenly cries out, and it tears him, that he foams again at the mouth. It bruises him, and it hardly ever departs from him. And I besought your disciples to cast him out. They didn't know how. They couldn't do it." Jesus answering said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring your son here." And as he was coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered the child again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered every one of the things which Jesus did, he said to his disciples, "Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men." We went from the glory on the Mount of Transfiguration to the pain at the bottom of the hill where somebody was suffering in demonic possession. But Jesus rebuked the evil spirit, and that evil spirit came out of the son. I tell you, everything is not sickness. I had someone come to me lately, within the past month, and the person told me that they were playing with Ouija boards and things like that. And so I had them renounce that, and I had them ask the Lord to come into their heart and ask the Lord to forgive their sins and ask the Lord that he would be Lord of their life. And so we named the demon, and I said, "Cough." She coughed it up. She comes a week later, and you know what? Her face was shining like the sun. She was free. She was free. Oh, there was no rigmarole when she was in the chapel. We just took authority over it in the name of Jesus by the power of the cross. And you know what? That authority came upon us as a grace. He said we do these things. I don't like doing these things. I tell you the truth. I do not like delivering people. I don't like it. But you know what? When someone comes to me and I feel like I can help them, I do it. I do it because that's what the Lord tells me to do. Let these sayings sink down in your ears. The Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying. They didn't want to understand it. And it was hidden from them. And they perceived it not. And they feared to ask him what the saying meant. It meant that he was going to die. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be the greatest. Isn't this crazy? Jesus said, lose your life if you want to gain it. Jesus said all these things. Deny yourself. Now they're fighting who's the greatest. Do you see why Jesus had to die on the cross? That the disciples are still thinking earthly ways. Who's the greatest? I'm the greatest. I am the greatest. No, nothing to do with greatness. It has everything to do with loving Jesus and service. Nothing to do with greatness. Greatness is only one greatness, and it's God Almighty and His Holy Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be the greatest. And Jesus, perceiving their thoughts, the thoughts of their heart, took a child and set him by him, and said to them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receives me. Whosoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he that is least among you all shall be called great. They hadn't got it yet. They hadn't got it yet. They still think they're in a world situation that the greatest get the best room. Oh no. The greatest is the one who comes to serve. Jesus himself, on the night before he died, started to wash the disciples' feet and told them that they should do that to one another and to other people. Why wash their feet? It was the job of the slave. Jesus, making himself lowly, just about to go to the cross, washed the feet of his disciples. I tell you, Jesus is humble. He who deserves all praise humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Do you know that? Do you know that Jesus Christ, the Lord, went to the cross out of love for you? Do you know that? That this wonderful Jesus went to the cross out of love for you? Do you understand that? I don't know if I'll ever understand it, because it's magnificent love. It's magnificent love. I can say I understand it, but this love goes deep into your heart, deep into your body, deep into your soul, deep into your spirit. And it came to pass, when the time had come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. No prophet dies except in Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for Jesus. But they did not receive Jesus. Why? Because his face was headed toward Jerusalem. The people that are Samaritans worshipped at Mount Gerizim. They wanted nothing to do with the Jewish worship on Mount Zion. So they do not accept Jesus. Why? Because his face is directed toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw that Jesus was accepted, they said, Lord, will you that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did? In other words, why don't we just destroy them? They're not going to accept you. Why don't we just destroy them with fire? What does Jesus say? But Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you are. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save men's lives. And they went to another village away from the Samaritans. Do you see what I'm saying? these disciples are still in the world and of the world. Let's just call down fire and see what happens to these people. Let's just call down fire and see what happens. These people did not accept Jesus. So what happened? Let us call down fire, and that fire will come upon them and kill them. And Jesus said, no. Why? You don't know what spirit you belong to. And it came to pass that as they went on their way, a certain man said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me go first and bury my father. In other words, my father is old. When my father dies, let me bury him. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Another man also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go bid them farewell at home in my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. What is he talking about here? The fields were filled with big stones. In order for you to plow, you have to keep your eyes fixed in front of you so you don't destroy the plow. No looking back. I told you the story about Linda. Linda was, on drugs, and she went to visit people down south. They were Christians, and she was delivered. And they gave her information, never look back. So she got on the plane, and the man next door to her said, I have all the drugs that you'd ever want. The only thing you have to do is look back. We are not into looking back. We are into looking forward, where Jesus is. Looking back, there's nothing back there. Your sins have been forgiven. Stop trying to think of, did you have a perfect way of asking him to forgive you? Your sins have been forgiven. Once you say things once, it's over. You do not have to say them again. I know I went through that scrupulosity years ago, and it was crazy that I would say, oh, did I confess it all? That's foolish. I did the best I could. That's all you have to do, is the best you can. And not be wound around scrupulosity. After these things, the Lord appointed another 70 also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was going to come. So he appoints 70 people to get ready for the coming of Jesus to do ministry. And what happens? Therefore, said he unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. How we need you to send laborers into the harvest. Use Father Matthew today. Use him, O God. Use Father Eric today. Use him, O God. Use him, O God. Use Father Martin today. Use him, O God. Use him, O God. Use young Martin today. Use him, O God. Use him, O God. Oh, Maria Vadia, use her, O God. She's gone to Chicago. So we pray for Maria that you use her over this weekend, because they are laborers, and they are laboring for the Lord Jesus. This is real. Not every religious person is a laborer for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what I'm saying? Pray that the Lord would send out laborers into his harvest, because if people are ready to be harvested. If they're not harvested for the kingdom, they will die on the vine. We'll continue this on the next week when we start the third week of the second week of Advent. I thank you for listening to me. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the word of God. We need to hear from you. I need to hear from you. Go to PayPal. InSeason.net will take you to PayPal. What else? Or send it to Father Tom, Post Office Box 602 East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602 East Boston, Mass. 02128. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he let his face shine upon you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.